What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not gonna be a podcast. It's gonna be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Welcome to How to Not Comedy, Eddie Rockefeller. Our favourite. I'm your host, Mitch, joined by my co-host, Ethan.
Hello.
First things first, you fucking destroyed last night, Eddie.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Man, that was a good set. Like, new material. I saw a couple of tags that I gave you. Heard a couple of tags. I was very happy with that.
I love how you made it plural. You gave me one tag and you're like, oh, you're using some tags.
No, you didn't use my homeless person one.
No, because I did. Version.
Yeah, well, your version didn't get laughs. So.
Yeah, it did on Friday night. Tell you what's good, because like on Friday night, the first two setups to that tag got no laughs, and then the tag got the laugh, right?
Yeah.
And then last night, the two setups got the laughs, and then the tag got a mediocre response. Yeah. And I was like, hang on.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be the strong part.
Did you record them both?
I did, yeah. So I think it was just because the retention was already broken because I got the last for the two setups.
Yeah.
I think so. So the third one was in trouble. But on Friday night, because I asked for the two setups, there was a bit of tension. Said the third line, they were like, oh, that is funny.
You know?
It was a thing. The art of comedy, guys.
Yeah. Sometimes it just fucking works and you don't know why. And other times it doesn't work and you don't know why.
Yeah. And there were two very different vibes because, like, I feel like I was smoother on Friday. Like, I stumbled my words far less, but the energy on Saturday was so high because we had Cabba as MC. It was just like, whoa, mega energy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, people say, oh, I've got energy. He's got fucking energy.
I know.
Like, it's crazy. He just gets the crowd going, which is great, but it also means they like to be a little bit more vocal.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, they were doing that.
Yeah.
So on Friday night we had, like, a really good crowd, but they were a listening crowd, which meant that you could just sort of, like, you could sort of, like, I got a laugh just from a look to a guy, you know what I mean? Like, that was what was great about Friday night. And then Saturday night just looked way better on video.
Yeah.
Like, I checked the two videos and I'm like, if I was going to post one of these, that would be the one.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't as smooth because just the response was higher for everything, which was, you know, sick. So you got to love both of those nights.
Yeah.
Like, they're different vibe, but they're both so much fun to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The Friday night crowds, I've probably said this before, it's like people finish and work. So they're just trying to let off steam.
So a little bit tired.
Yeah, they're a little bit more tired. So, yeah.
Saturday, they're well rested. Dangerous combo.
Yeah, they'll fucking just get hammered
and
start being a problem. There was a heckler in the front row just answering questions.
So the second I started my set last night, I went to, you know, said hey to everybody, all that sort of stuff. And then the two girls at the front were talking. And I, for a brief second, I was like, do I address it? And then I was like, nah, you'll just make the problem worse. So I just barreled on through. Because some other of the comedians that night did try to address it. And they got some really good riffs off it.
Yeah.
But it did just make the girls more vocal. That's the danger with hecklers, because you got to address them, but also you got to try them in the way that they don't feel empowered to talk more.
It shits me when you go to a comedy show and you think it's okay to sit in the front row and talk.
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, what, do you think you're in a fucking bubble, cunt?
What are you talking about? It's so obvious. And it's amazing how much just a little thing like that can turn the energy.
Yeah.
Because, like, on Friday night, I one of the tags to my bits, like, it still went well, but it didn't go as well as it usually did, because right in the while I was saying that tag, a guy was returning from getting a drink at the front row, like right in front of me.
Mm.
So, you know, even just something like that can, you know, like, diminish,
distract the crowd, like, a little bit.
Yeah, the punchline a little bit, which sucks, but, you know, it is part of it. You want the punchline to be strong enough to still land, I guess, but
yeah,
or just be able to barrel on through onto the next one. But yeah.
Yeah. No, I was supposed to do Friday night and have been recovering from the AIDS, so I messaged James on Thursday night.
Well enough to come out on Saturday night, though.
Yeah, no, I was like, I caught it on last Thursday, was fucked all weekend, started coming
good.
Wow,
you still fucked during. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting choice.
Well, Sharon's Karen.
That strap-on's been getting a lot of use this week.
Yeah.
Maybe you should clarify that the AIDS is COVID, right?
No, it wasn't COVID.
It was actual AIDS.
It was, no, the flip.
Strap-on AIDS.
I didn't know. You just sent me a message going, yo, dude, I'm going to have to cancel. I've got AIDS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least he'll be skinny. It really takes hold.
Classic AIDS diet. But you get the belly from the medication.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
he's been doing AIDS research. Belly. He's expecting to get it soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a matter of time. All his life.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
How'd you go last night then? Get a threesome?
No.
No?
No.
Were you trying to? Was that what that situation was?
No, I wasn't trying to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Please don't try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you get what you want.
Yeah. They were, it's pretty funny. We're at a dinner and both Zoe and Tanya are like, oh, yeah, we're his wives. And the Japanese lady's like, I don't know how to take that.
Yeah. She thought, she would have thought they were serious for
sure. Yeah. So.
I want to ask who the lady is to you, but then I'm like, do you want to put it on the podcast?
A school friend.
She listens to this. Okay. So
yeah, she's a fan of the podcast. Yeah. She listens.
I was like so awkward because I introduced myself to her and she's like, we've met. I'm like, oh, where? Right here. Yeah. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Eddie Rees a dickhead head again.
We meet hundreds of people. It's impossible to fucking keep.
So many people.
It's impossible to keep track. You can't go anywhere without being recognised.
Oh, yeah, man. A girl walked up to me at a cafe the other day. I was doing a writing session. She walked up. I'm like, oh, I just want to let you know. You're so funny. I didn't want to leave without letting you know. And I'm like, thank you. That's the ego boost I needed for this writing session.
Let me know wherever you go.
Exactly.
It's always come on.
It's the best feeling ever.
A dude at the party last night, right, because basically what I was at last night, my friends got married last weekend. So this weekend they decided to have a one-week anniversary party, big piss up for all their friends sort of idea. And this guy who saw me, because I played music for the wedding, because I'm a musician as well. So he knew me from that. And then we were talking about how I had to leave the party to go to a set. I was going to come back after. And he's like, oh, that's where I know you from. You're at the comedy club.
Yeah.
And then get this. He goes, can I get a photo with you? And I'm like, oh, my God. Yes, you can. Would you like my shirt off?
I usually charge for this.
Oh, it was so sick.
Yeah. So... You recently from New York. It's been a couple of weeks now. We tried to get you fresh on the pod, but Ethan had pussy to get and I got AIDS.
Priorities.
I've been a busy boy.
Yeah. I understand.
Been waist Eddie deep. Had pussy to get too.
Yeah.
He's been waist deep.
My own. I was a search through the family.
Where is it? I left it down there somewhere.
So recently came back. How long did you spend... In New York?
I spent 3 weeks there.
3 weeks.
Which was sick.
Yeah.
So I had... basically what happened is my friend was already booked to come to New York.
Yeah.
We got drunk one night and she's like, you should totally come. And I'm like, I totally am. That's how it happened. So
yeah.
I only had like a month to plan it. I hadn't saved any money for this trip because I didn't know that it was going on it. So it was very last minute. I decided to go a week earlier than her. So I could spend a week just like getting into the comedy scene because I knew that as soon as she got there, we'd be doing like all the touristy things.
Yeah.
And she's a musician as well. So she's a singer. Difference.
Throwing shade.
But yeah, fucking condescension here, baby. Yeah, so I knew that when she got there, we were going to be doing a lot more music nights and things like that and touristy things. So I wanted to make sure I had time to get into the comedy scene a little bit because I'm like, if I go to New York and don't do comedy, I'll be so mad at myself. So mad. So I did that. I got in. I got booked off my first open mic. I was so fucking happy.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh, nailed it. Partially it was because I was an Australian, but who cares? I'll take what I can get.
Fucking
It was sick. And
well, how did that work? Someone just come up to you after?
Or? Yeah, literally. Well, technically it was in the middle of the show. He pulled me over in the middle. And then we got told to shut up because we were talking during the show. We did go out the back of the room, but, you know, I've got a quiet, you know, I was getting louder as I was going through the... Yeah. I started with a whisper and then...
Yeah, we've turned the game way down.
Oh, yeah. I switched mic and he's like, fuck it, I've got to recalibrate.
I forgot to do that, actually.
Oh, shit, I'm going to be so loud.
Yeah.
There's gonna be booming voice going on here.
All good.
So how was the first show? So was it like booked for the very next night, same night?
No, it was booked for that night, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, literally that night. So and because he'd clearly already booked the show, I was down as a guest spot.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, is it last minute add-on. But, yeah, basically I got up. Open mic rooms in New York are so different from here, in that they're shit.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I love New York, but the main appeal of New York is that there's so much opportunity to do comedy. Like, there's so many. Like, you can do, like, 30 rooms in a week if you want. Like,
yeah,
it's
okay.
possible. You
of
can
like
hit multiple.
Booked rooms or, like, paid? Or
open
just
mics.
Open mics.
But there are also, like, booked shows in that as well. Yeah. So, like, in total, like, if you just combine them all together, you could do, like, like 30 shows. It's, like, nuts.
Yeah.
But the difference with their open mic rooms, it's mainly just comedians, so it's more like a comedy, it's more like a comedian workroom.
Yeah.
You know, where you test jokes out, but you do it on the stage still.
Yeah.
And you have to pay to do them. That's the
Fuck
biggest
that.
Downside. So imagine paying to bomb. Like,
yeah.
It's enough here when we bomb, but...
How much do they charge them?
Like, usually like $5.
Oh, that's all right.
It's not. It's not.
It's free. It's,
I know. It's way better here, but a lot of, like, the venues, like, I've seen in the Sydney comedy thing, like, people are putting up, like, one drink minimums, things like that, which is your $5.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they do that as well, though. So they usually do, you pay $5 and then they've got, like, a two drink minimum or something.
Oh, okay.
Like, every single open mic is a little bit different. Like, they have their, I did one that was only, like, $3. Yeah. Actually didn't pay for that one. I realised afterwards, I totally forgot to Venmo her. I am so sorry, Abigail.
You left the country. She's not coming after you for it.
I know. Fucking chase that down.
I think it's fucked that you have to pay, but I understand that venues have to make money at the end of the day.
No,
and they're not going to put
it's
things
the
on.
The room runners.
The room runners want to make
money.
Yeah,
so the room runners pocket that.
Right.
Yeah. So that's essentially their form of getting paid for running the gig.
Okay.
So I totally get it. Like, you want to
fuck, Eddie's
going to
start charging. Everyone watch out. She's been in New York. Yeah. She knows how to do it now.
You're like, it's fancy, it's New York style.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing about Australia is, and some of the things I've heard from other comedians, is like pubs, if they've got a like a gambling license, need to put on a certain amount of live shows.
Yes,
yeah, and then it reduces the amount of tax they pay on the gambling shit, so they save money.
That's really great.
Yeah.
That's why I think our open mic setup is actually better. Mm. But we just don't have enough people per capita, you know what I mean? Like, we just don't have... So we can get maybe, like, two successful nights in a week.
Yeah.
For open mic.
Yeah.
Right? There's, like, 10 a day.
Yeah.
You can catch open mics from 2 p.m. in the afternoon right till, like, midnight.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts.
Shit.
But if you're paying for every one of those, that's expensive.
Yeah. There are a few
expensive.
That are free, but you just have to find the right ones.
Mm.
And I think the thing is, if you figure it into your budget, like, if you're just trying to do it one night a week, like, what's that? 7 times 5? That's
35.
$40.
35, yeah. 35.
Yeah, that one. That's what I said.
Yep.
I do maths. I'm good at it. But I use my calculator.
Quick math.
So on the scheme of things, I'm like, $35 isn't that much, but it would build up over time.
Surely you'd start getting book gigs off
that's
that.
That's what I imagine, right? Yeah. So, like, they're good like that. And what is great about it is there's so many comedians there that you stop seeing, like, I only occasionally saw the same comics again.
Yeah, okay.
So you're always seeing, and even when you do see those people, they're usually doing new material. Like, there's a lot more freedom to just talk ideas out.
Yeah.
Like, people will get up there with a notebook and just be like, oh, I wanted to talk about this, and then they'll just sort of talk and riff on it.
Mm.
It's less like we sort of more structure ourselves in, oh, I better have a setup and a punchline prepared before I try it on stage.
Yeah.
Like, we put a lot more pressure on ourselves. Whereas in America, they're just so more confident to just, like, work it out on stage.
Yeah.
Which I think is something that I definitely sort of took a little bit of from. That's, like, one of the things I took from New York is to let myself just be more free on stage and try stuff. And
I was doing that with
some
of those bits that I was, like, in the breakup and stuff like that when I was doing bits about.
And it works, doesn't
it? Like, yeah, and you kind of come across it in the set and you're like, oh, that's the funny part. Like, when I was joking about,
and
like, dementia
never
like, yeah, you don't want to forget to kill yourself like I did that that one. Yeah,
it's, oh, and it's I wouldn't. Oh, it's killing me now.
Yeah. I need to bring that one back.
Yeah, you do. But, that's funny.
Yeah, coming up with that was like, I just was like, I'm going to talk about this and we'll fucking see what happens. And yeah. It's like a way better way to do it.
It really is.
It's hard when you first start. Like, I wouldn't recommend it, but.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. When you first start, I feel like the system only works when you understand the structure of jokes.
Yeah.
Because then when you're talking things out, exactly like you said, like, you'll find a punchline where you never really thought it was.
Yeah.
Or you'll find a punchline that is based on the way you deliver a line rather than I have to have a specific contrast here or whatever it is. Mm. Which is... like, comedy is all about showing your personality on stage. Like, just being yourself is the eventual format you want.
Yeah.
Right? All the big comics, all the ones with the big names, are the people who are just sound like they're having a conversation on stage.
Yeah.
They don't get up. There's only a few comics like Mitch Hedberg where it's definitely like you can see the setup.
Punchline,
right? All the other comics, like the conversational comics, they're big because they just sound like they're thinking through ideas, but all of their words are specifically, like, they put that word specifically there.
Mm.
Like, it is all prepared and structured. It's just that you can't see the structure.
Yeah.
So I think America has a better system of getting to that point, I think Australia has a better way of informing you and getting you on that structure, if that makes sense.
Well, like, a lot of the crowds as well, we do shorter sets here. You've got 8 minutes, so you really want to maximise your time and the amount of laughs you're getting in there. Whereas if you've got the opportunity to do longer sets, you can talk out ideas more and you can
They've only got like 4 minute sets there, actually.
Even in the pro shows? Even in the open mics? Oh, the
minutes.
Open mics, yeah.
So those are the ones you'd be wanting to talk out ideas. In the book shows, you want to be probably just doing your... I mean, it depends. Like, I did a show there where I got booked for a show and I did a 10-minute slot.
Yeah.
I did a 7 at one. The guest spot was only 5.
You ran the lot, didn't you?
Probably. I'll check later, but probably.
100% you did.
And what were the crowds like? Did you have to slow down your talking or anything like that?
I think I've just become more comfortable with slowing down now. I used to feel a huge amount of pressure to be like, I have to feel silence.
Yeah.
But I feel like one of the things I got from America is I'm much more prepared to slow down and sort of just, like, take my time and build tension in the room. I definitely got a lot out of the experience. Even just just being able to see how people can be conversational and not be insecure about it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Just, like, they're willing to try stuff. And if something doesn't work, they're like, whatever, and move the fuck on. Like, they're so much more battle-hardened.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas I feel like I've always been one of those comics that overthinks, and I'm like, I can't know it's going to work. Which is just, it's stupid. It just holds you back.
Yeah.
You got to be prepared to just go for it. Yeah. What was the question again?
What were the crowds like? What were the crowds like?
Oh, the crowds. See, the thing is, their open mic rooms are basically just comedian workrooms.
Yeah.
Their bar shows are more like our open mics.
Yeah.
And then, but they sell like ticketed shows for those. The club shows would be the ones, like, they were just like our club shows here. So I went and watched, I obviously didn't get booked any of the club shows, I wasn't there long enough, but I went and saw a couple of club shows and it was just a really great vibe. Mm. It was good, but the bar shows, it was just like one of our shows where we have like minimal audience members and you still have to bring it.
Yeah.
But it feels like they're more passionate about comedy there. Like there's, do you know, it's much different to when we go to a bar show and those people didn't know we were going to come. Like they didn't know we were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we started doing comedy at them. You know?
Yeah, at them.
Yeah, at them specifically.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, they'll have a separate room for the comedy specifically, like, so it'll still be minimal audience members, but they're all there to laugh.
I think that's why the Stag works really well, because it is sort of separate to the back room where everyone's hanging out. People have to come into that front room
exactly
to watch the show, so they're somewhat invested.
Yeah, the second you have to make an extra movement or something, you're more invested in the comedy. Like, that's sometimes why it's good, even if you're doing a free show, to still have tickets, just make them free.
Yeah.
Because then you have to go online, you have to book a ticket, and then when you go into the show, because you've gone through that, it's like another threshold you have to go through. The more threshold you have to go to, the more you're prepared for.
Yeah.
This is a show.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're sitting at a table and someone suddenly stands up on stage and starts telling jokes, you're like, who's this fucker? You know, like it's a different, you're not being like, oh, we're in a show now.
Yeah.
You're like, this guy has invaded my socialization, you know, so those people feel.
Oh, especially at like little pubs where it's like someone's local and you're just up there talking shit. You're like, who's this cunt?
Yeah.
Felt that at the Maitland Hotel. There was like three dudes sitting up there, end of the bar, and they're just like arms folded, just like, who the fuck are these cunts in my pub? I'm usually the funny guy. Yeah.
It's their pub.
Yeah. And they're usually the funny one, or one of them thinks that they're the funny one.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh.
They're Aussie funny. You know what I mean? Like,
conversationally
Aussie guy funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say crazy things about women to the blokes at the table.
Oh, I say it always, racist things. Yeah. It's hilarious.
It always gets a chuckle. Yeah, try that shit in front of 90 cunts.
It's always those guys, the Aussie guy funny.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Aussie guys aren't funny, but I've like it's always those ones who think they're Aussie guy funny. They hop up on stage and go, oh, I can do comedy. I'm so funny. My mates laugh all the time. And then they hop up and they bomb so
bad. Oh, it's always they're doing like edgy gear. And it's like they're too...
Stuff
like,
that they tell to their tradie mates and the tradie mates laugh. And it was like,
Had
and a guy come to Punchline once and he... Do you remember the guy came and did
the poetry?
Poetry. And he just... He walked a table.
He used to do it to... He did it to, like, miners.
That's what I mean. Yeah, he told me that too.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it kills up at the mines. I'm like, yeah, I'm there. It fucking did.
Everyone there's fucking divorced. They hate women. That's why misogynistic poetry kills them. You fucking moron.
Oh, you have to laugh.
He's like, yeah, that's open mic. You can't control who's going to get up and fucking say shit.
He said to me afterwards, he's like, oh, I'll see you next week. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. He didn't come back.
He did not come back. Well, here's the thing. There's nothing that clears a room better than, like, of, like, bad comics than a terrible bomb. Like, if you're not invested in becoming better.
Yeah.
Like, bombing will get rid of you. And people are like, oh, sometimes I get messages on my Facebook, oh, I didn't like this guy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
sorry.
Yeah, trust me, he's not going to be back. He sucks.
No, like, I will
I
be.
I don't need to berate him. He knows.
Yeah.
He felt it. Yeah. You know?
I got in trouble again. Someone messaged him.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook.
Oh, my God.
About a trans joke I did.
They threatened a lawsuit against me. Really? I'm like, I didn't tell the fucking joke. Like,
yeah.
What? Yeah. All right.
Wasn't even a good beard.
Tell us, start to finish. Tell me the story. What happened?
It was beat them to the punchline. So it's this improv game we do at the end of Punchline Comedy for those people on the podcast.
Mm.
And what was the prompt? Do you remember?
Something about going to the doctor. And I already had this shitty joke about, like, oh, the doctor told me to lay off the trans fats. So I was like, no, I don't want to stop blowing fat dudes in wigs.
Yeah.
Which is just a pun, technically. Like, it's just playing on the words.
Fucking joke. Like,
it's not actually about trans people. It's actually just the play on the words.
I don't hate trans people. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I'm making literally a joke about blowing them.
Yeah, I'm blowing them in the joke. I'm sucking. Anyway.
Oh, man.
They got
upset.
We
all know how much Ethan loves blowing men, so or women. Who, oh fuck! I fucked it up. Now I'm getting cancelled. Yeah. God damn it! Yeah.
It's all right. No one listens to this anymore.
But someone will go back through it.
Yeah.
Someday.
One day we're all getting cancelled from
back
this.
I can't wait. I can't wait to be in a position where I'm being cancelled.
Okay. If that happens,
it means I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna be
means
good.
I've made it to SNL or something. So you've done this first book show. It was like a bar gig, was it?
Yeah, it was a bar gig. So one of the reasons why they booked me is because the owner is an Australian. So he's like, he will fucking love you. You got to come down tonight. I'm like, I'm there. And the guy was awesome. I met him. We had a good convo. Great guy. And then everybody there, because like I did the bar show, obviously, and I got drunk. So this is my first day in New York. First day in New York. And I'm already at a bar at 4 a.m., drunk and people going, oh, fucking love this bitch. You have to move here. I was like, this is a good start.
Yeah.
This is a great night. It was awesome. It was so good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, people buying me drinks and all this happened. It was great. Yeah. I was like, this is my entry to New York.
Yeah.
Right? And they, because they just love Australians over there. They, yeah, do. They do. It was, yeah, so sick. Everywhere I went, just like the second you pull the accent out, they're like, oh, it's so sexy. I'm like, oh, my God, I've never thought of the Australian accent as sexy.
Oh, fuck, yeah, cunt. Fucking put it in me, hey.
Oh, fuck, that was my pickup line, actually. Went down a treat.
Have you ever been down under? Pulling out all them. What's that shit joke? It's like, what's a... Like a French kiss is that, but what's an Australian kiss? It's like a regular kiss, but down under.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's so fucking bad.
I don't know. There's a certain beauty to that joke. It's very...
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, next time you go over there, give it a whirl. You might...
It just presents such imagery in my mind.
So how many book shows did you do over there?
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to count. Yeah. So there was the Spaghetti Tavern. I did our comedy show 3 times because they kept bringing me back, which was sick.
Yeah.
I did an apartment show and then I did the Grizzly Pear before I left. So that was six book shows.
Wow.
And then I did a bunch of... Thanks for that, Ethan.
My bad. Just like, you're just rattling off venues. I need to burp. I don't know any of these places.
This is going
to
be the clip for the...
Well, the video's all fucked out. I don't know what's going on with it today.
No video?
It's,
yes!
That's pretty slow.
I'm winning it. Yeah. If I'd put makeup on and the video was not working, I would have felt so gypped.
If you did, I would have stopped it and fixed it, but... I'm going to fucking buy a camera. Let's buy a camera.
We've got a camera.
Oh, they're committing to it
now. Why don't you bring it in. Bring in the good camera.
Yeah, I'll bring in the camera. We'll set it up.
Yeah.
It's like you guys make no effort at all.
We try and make no effort.
We were talking about the podcast last night and Zoe's like, oh, what's your joke? And I've explained the premise of it. She's like, oh, okay. She's like, oh, so what do you do? I'm like, not a lot. I'm like, if it ever like starts making money and Ethan sits me down, he's like, look, man. I'm taking 90% of the money. I would have no recourse whatsoever. I just like, yeah, okay.
Fair enough.
That wouldn't happen. I'll give you 10%. Yeah.
Generous.
Half of nothing is still nothing. Yeah. So there you go.
It's on the record, guys.
Yeah.
He's contractually obliged now.
No. When he releases this episode, you know, because he does all the work, he'll just cut that portion
that
out.
That got edited out. It's just that entire sentence just changed to no.
No.
It'll just change. There'll be a weird insert. Just a, I'll give you 10%. Like, like this sentence.
Let's clip it so Tyler can put it in.
Yeah.
10%.
You're screwed now.
Shit.
Making him work for his $20.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tyler.
Yeah, right. So you, what was the cellar like?
The comedy cellar?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the stupid thing.
This is the highlight.
Yeah, this was sick. So this was the night before I left, but here's the start of it. I was like, of course I have to go to the comedy cellar before I leave. Like,
yeah.
Has to be done, right? But I didn't think it through because, like I said, it was last second this trip, so I didn't book ahead, I didn't think ahead. And turns out they're always booked 2 weeks in advance.
Yeah.
So I was hectic, like, every single day I was there. There was so much going on. So, you know, 3 people were like, I want to do this. So there was always activities to do. So eventually when I was like, oh, I've got to sit down and make sure I book these tickets, they were booked 2 weeks in advance. And I was like, fuck. So what I did, right, is I picked the Tuesday, literally the night before I leave. Like, I'm leaving 10 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah.
I've also got a set that night at the Grizzly Pear. So I'm like, I'll pick the early show, right? Early show on a Tuesday, least likely to be full. So I managed to get in, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I have a sneaking feeling that I'm not in... I wasn't in the main cellar, the comedy cellar, because there's 2 rooms. They have the main comedy cellar
room. Belly room.
The one that's always on the, like, the Netflix specials and all that sort of stuff. And then they have the side room. I was in that one.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm still technically at the comedy cellar. I got this. Next time I'll know to book in advance.
Yeah.
Because you have to do that, right? So I sat in this room. We'd had this, we had this 7 p.m. show. It was amazing. It killed. The headliner got up, right? And he's this really intelligent sort of riffing guy. So he's like a, it's like a, Black Carl Legacy.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man, if only. Wait till he hears that. I'm fucking black. Don't ever say I'm not.
Right, so he's riffing about all these different kinds of issues, like, all across the world. And, like, whenever he's making these jokes, like, there's a lot of white guilt in the room because there's people, yeah. like, right? And I'm at the back and I'm laughing my ass off, because yeah. right? I know... comedy, and I'm yeah. not scared to laugh at a good joke
yeah.
because it's, you know, like, a little bit racially charged, yeah. you know. I was like, he's black, he's making the joke, he's allowed to do it, calm the fuck down, guys. Like, yeah. it was a good joke, yeah. I'm laughing my ass off, right? So afterwards, you know, the comics are hanging to the side of the room, and all of these guys have been on, like, you know, like, everybody gets introduced with TV credits in America.
Yeah.
Like, it's very common to have a TV credit. So everybody got introduced that night, was like, oh, you've seen him on Netflix, on this show and this show, and all these shows that I've seen. Ah! Yeah. I'm freaking the fuck out. Like, oh, my God, I know him. Don't know his name, but I saw his face on an episode. Like, yeah. I'm so excited. So afterwards, they're all hanging outside the door. So I walk over, and I'm just like, oh, I just want to say, you know, great show, really enjoy it, so funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the headliner is speaking to me, you know, she explains, because you're a comic, aren't you? And I was like, fuck, he picked me as a comic. I'm like, how did you know?
Yeah.
It was like, because I'm laughing so loud at all the jokes, and for a brief second I mentioned, like, oh, drink requirements for all these comedy shows, and he's like, oh, you're a comic. It's like, yeah. how did you? It's like, oh, only because you're talking about drink requirements, and only a comic goes to that many comedy shows. And I'm like, yeah. fucking you, spot on, man. Yeah. like, you nailed me. Yeah. So good, right? So, you know, I had a brief conversation with him. I walked off to go find my friend. Who I dragged along to the comedy show. And then on the way out, we went to speak to him again, and then we got caught up in a conversation, and then we were riffing and all this sort of stuff. And I told him that I had a set later at the Grizzly Pear, and he's like, oh, man, I'll come by, I'll see your set. All this sort of stuff. I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. This, you know, so great, right? We stop out at a 7-Eleven just before we're heading to my set, right? And then we run into him again outside the 7-Eleven. He's like, oh, I'm just heading to the Comedy Cellar. And I was like, oh, yeah, we were just chilling. And he's like, oh, do you want to come? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we fucking do.
Yeah.
So he drags us into the Comedy Cellar. And the thing is, you walk into the Comedy Cellar and everybody fucking knows him. Everybody's saying hello to him. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, yeah. It turns out, Chris Rock's cousin.
Yeah, okay.
Nuts. I mean, this guy is so fucking funny in his own right. And then to find out, you know, he's still got that connection as well. Everybody at the cellar, like, knows him. It's a whole thing. He brings it into the cellar. I'm sitting a meter away from Sam Morril, who's, like, one of my comedy idols. Like, yeah. he's so good.
Yeah.
And he's introducing me to everybody at the Comedy Cellar. Like, oh, this is Eddie. She's the comic from Australia. I'm like, yeah, fucking him.
Nuts.
It's so exciting, man. I'm, like, losing my shit. It's so nuts, right? And then, obviously, and we were smoking. We went to hang out on a table outside because he left us at a table for a little second because he went out to smoke, and neither of me and my friend smoke. And I was like, I just want to sit in the Comedy Cellar for a bit.
Yeah,
like that. I'd be like, I smoke too.
Oh, yeah,
I smoke now.
Oh, no. I did. I went out. We sat in the Comedy Cellar for a bit. We came back out. So he was sitting at the table right outside, right next to the fucking door, and everybody's walking past, like, oh, Sherrod, you know, fucking. Yeah. Everybody knows him. Comics are coming past and riffing with him, like faces I know.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen before. I'm like, this is fucking nuts, man. And I'm sitting there, we're there with another lady, and we're just chatting a little bit. And then he's just so, he's so hospitable. Like, is that hospitable? Like,
yeah.
He's so like, oh, this is Eddie. She's a comic. She's sick. You should meet her, blah, blah, blah. Oh, the chick that we're sitting from, oh, she's in a Seinfeld episode. And he got the fucking and showed me where she was in the Seinfeld episode. I'm like, this is nuts. Like, this is like a dream. This is my last night leaving New York, and this is happening.
Yeah.
Right? And he gives me his fucking number. He says, like, oh, you know, when you're back, hit me up. I'll put you on some shows. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so fucking
crazy.
That
is insane. Right? I'd have literally booked another plane ticket right then and there.
I know.
All right, can you do October?
Yeah. I mean, I would have been, like, delayed the flight or something, but he was heading to Nashville the very next day to go do a bunch of shows. For a second there, I was like, I had to head down to my Grizzly Pear. So I left my friend for a little bit because he kind of got us into Cafe Wah for a second as well, which is a cafe right next to a big music venue, right?
Yeah.
And both me and Lee are singers. So, and we were like, I was fronting as a comedian then.
Oh,
I don't always like
to. That.
Like, yeah. He's there, like, I'll get you in. So we spoke to the guy there, got us in. And then the lead singer there was like, we'll get you up to sing. It was a whole thing. And then, but we had to wait because, you know, the band was doing their thing.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I've got a head. I've got to go to my set. So I left it there for a bit, went down to the Grizzly Pear to get ready for my set. And then she rocks up and she's like, she missed my set, just missed it, right? And then she's like, oh, go head back and see if I can get my spot at Cafe Wah. And then she got back to Cafe Wah and she just missed her spot there as well.
Oh, so, wow. Should have stayed.
So she missed both. I'm like, dude, you should have stayed. You've seen me do comedy before. I would have been fine with it. And she's like, no, I want to be a supportive friend. And I was like, yeah, well, you're regretting it now. Yeah. It's like, stop being supportive, you dumb bitch. Like,
yeah. Fuck, anyway, so, man. Missing so, that. That's crazy.
I know. But she came back to the Grizzly Pear and told me, oh, I missed it. It was sucky. But Sherrod was there, so we were hanging out. We were riffing all fucking night.
Oh, so he actually came to watch.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. He just missed me as well because he went out to smoke and then missed me as well. So it fucking sucked. But it doesn't. Yeah. He came. He sat down.
That's
like,
insane.
Yeah, it was so good. So we were hanging together. We were riffing all night. Like, I was cracking him up. We were having a, you know, like, oh, it was just like, you and me riffing. Like, we would. But with, like, a guy of that caliber and, like, that well-known at the comedy set. Like, it was nuts. Yeah. And that was my last night in New York. And I was like, what a way to go out. It was just, it was amazing. And he's such a lovely guy. We got these photos, right? So we took, like, photos. And I haven't put them up yet, but I'm going to post them. But we made a joke about the fact that, like, you know, we're taking a photo together. And he's like, made a joke about the fact that we were taking, like, mug shots. I'm like, oh, it's got to be accurate. We've got to make sure that we're, like, to the side as well. You know, so I looked at him, like, side, like, from the front and on the side on. Like, so I've got to post it. Yeah. I can't believe I haven't done it yet, but I should do that. But, if you're ever in New York, check out Sherrod Small. He's hilarious. And he's just such a lovely guy as well.
Yeah.
Ed fucked him. That's how she got the spot.
I didn't, but he did try to fuck my friend. So
that's why he's showing up.
Oh, God. That was a great night, yeah.
The fucking story you told me, I'll get you to repeat it. The morning you were leaving
at the Petra
station.
So I had a layover in Hawaii on the way back. I was just there for a day, so I decided to hire a ute.
Yeah.
They called it a truck. I was very confused, and I rocked up, and it was a ute. I'm like, oh, I get it. I thought I was hiring, like, a nine-wheeler. So confused. Like, this is not going to be good. Like, parking's going to be a bitch. Like, it's not great. So I hired this ute, and, like, I slept out under the stars. It was, like, such a great night. And, you know, I wanted to get a car so I could drive around to a few spots and locations while I was there. I went to comedy in Hawaii, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you know how when you return a hired vehicle, you've got to fill the tank and then return it, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So I get to this this gas station and I can't figure out, like, they've got a totally different system to Australia. So I'm sitting there going, I can't figure this out. I pull a guy over from the next pump and he's trying to help me figure it out, but nothing's working. Eventually he's like, how much fuel do you need? And I was like, oh, yeah, I just picked it up yesterday. So it's like barely anything. So he paid for my fuel. And he grabbed my ass and he left.
Easy payment.
It was nuts. I'm like, my ass is currency in America. It's beautiful. Oh, my God. It was like, there was a few more extra things in there. Like, he was like, oh, when are you leaving? I'm like, I'm literally heading to my flight right now. Yeah. It's like, if you weren't leaving, I'd have you up in my bed. Like, I can't do an American accent, but it was very sexy.
It's Hawaiian too.
Yeah. Oh. You're so, everyone's so chill and laid back in Hawaii, man.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Until they're not.
Until you need a full tank of fuel.
Can you imagine that? Because you're going to put the card in first before you fill it up, right?
He's grabbing the front.
Oh, my God. For that amount of money, you're blowing me. Let's go.
Fucking hell.
No, it was only like $20 amount of fuel. So, yeah, what? He's such a lovely guy. I was like, if that happened in Australia, I'd be like, what a creep. But in America, I'm like, he's so hot. Like,
yeah, some bogan grabs your ass at a truck stop in Australia. You'd be like, call the police.
Yeah. I'd have an issue. And I was well aware of that as I was driving off. I was like, I would not be okay with this. I'd be very, like, my feminist side would come out and be like, this motherfucker. Yeah. But in America, I'm like, you say it in that accent, I'm like, you can have anything you want. Like, just ask for my car. Size, come on, like, it's like you don't even care. Motorboat me, no. Oh, it was great. I've never been asked out more in person than I have while I was in America.
Yeah,
like, it was nuts. I got hit on in the subway, like, some dude followed me a couple of stations, and
that's
I was
weird.
Like, Yeah. For a second, I was very concerned until he got off. Then I'm like, oh, okay, it was just an experience.
Until he got off.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor choice of words.
And I was like,
there.
Job done. Wiped my mouth and off I went. No. No, like...
That's the only way to get rid of a stalker. You just blow him. They'll leave you alone after that. Just fucking make him come. They go to sleep straight afterwards.
Yeah, he gets his post-nut clarity, feels bad for what he's done, and he leaves.
Pays me and leaves, you know. Oh, thanks for the $100, by the way.
I wish we had that on camera.
Yeah. Oh, no. So, like, I was concerned for a while because, like, when he hopped on the with me, I was like, oh, no. Is he going to stay all the way? Because I was going home at the time to the accommodation, and I was like, fuck, is he going to follow me the whole way?
Yeah.
But he got off after a few stops.
What?
No. Why is that relevant?
Because he probably wouldn't have got off at the Bronx if he was white.
Okay, well, racist motherfucker. Well,
yeah, no, you're right.
He was selling waters. So he was on the job. So there's a lot of people who walk around in New York where they're just selling waters. That's a big thing. And there'll be a lot of people just on street corners with like little plastic takeaway containers of fruit or like banana bread or just like random shit.
Yeah.
So that people can just like hand money and go. So America's like got a lot of food placed everywhere. It's a lot of that. A lot of water being sold places on subway because it's really, really hot in the subway. But the conditioning on the subway cars was amazing. So I didn't even mind. You'd sweat for a little bit on the subway platform and then you'd hop in the train and be like, oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
And I arrived in the middle of a heat wave too.
Yeah.
What's their heat wave? Is that like 30 degrees?
The heat was like 40 degrees.
Yeah, that's fucking hot.
And it was like direct sun. So and they have like, they leave their garbage. This sounds bad. They leave their garbage on the street.
Yeah.
Like they don't have like big or anything. So the businesses just sort of leave it on the curb to be picked up.
Yep.
So imagine that heat
hitting the garbage.
So luckily I've got a bad sense of smell, so I only really smelt it when you walked right past it. But like at one of the comedy clubs, we watched a show and then we were hanging out the side, talking to some of the comedians after the show, and we're just on the side street, and there's just like fucking lines of rubbish. We're just hanging out in a fucking garbage can. It was crazy.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
Haven't they figured that one out? Just get fucking... I suppose there's no space for bins, like a big bin.
Yeah.
Everything's just so chockers in there.
Yeah, I guess so. I saw... I used to get... I was getting home, like I was leaving town in Manhattan every night about like 4 a.m. And then it was an hour and a half back to my accommodation. So that's what I was doing every single night, pretty much. So at one point, I actually saw the garbage collection when I got to my last train stop where this guy, and they just, like, just, they move so fast. Like, they chuck everything. They do not care if they leave stuff behind.
Yeah.
So New York is just, like, one of the dirtiest cities you'll ever see. It's basically like Sydney, but way dirtier.
Yeah.
And there's more shit to do, obviously, and there's, like, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's great, though. If you can get past that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of small spaces. Their toilets are tiny. They fit like a toilet into the space. Like, you need to sit down. I've been in toilets that big.
Yeah.
That was it. The ones where you have to hug the door to get off.
Yeah.
Like, it was nuts.
Yeah.
And they don't like public bathrooms there. So it was very normal to walk into the subway and just smell urine.
Oh, they're just pissing.
Yeah.
Oh, because they don't have public toilets.
After seeing their public bathroom situations, I'm like, I understood it. I was like, I would do it just for the space. Like, ooh, look at this. So great. At one point, we were hopping into an elevator at one of the subways, and a cleaner got off, and he just, like, literally been using a shirt. I'm like, you know, on the floor. He's like, oh, I'm sorry for the bleach smell. I just had to, you know, like... improvise to clean up, you know, someone, and you know, urinated in here, just had to improvise. I'm like, you're apologising for the bleach smell? I think we're thanking you for it. Like,
yeah.
We much prefer that. Yeah.
Bleach is better than piss.
Are you going to go back?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I've already got kind of half plans to do it at the end of the year.
Yeah, okay.
Nice. But it just depends whether monetarily-wise I can make it happen. But my plan is...
Ooh, I'm heading to Colorado at the end of the year.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's sick, man.
Yep.
Why Colorado?
Because there's snow there.
Oh, okay.
And the girl I'm seeing has a dad's pretty well off and he has a timeshare
Okay.
At a place called Beaver Creek, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Old Beaver Creek.
Beaver Creek.
I'm getting beaver at Beaver Creek?
Yeah.
I love it.
No, that's sick, yeah. man. Are yeah. you going to travel while you're also there? Or
I don't know. I might, yeah, might draw it out a bit.
There's heaps of, yeah, there's heaps of comedy in Colorado.
Well, it's right next to, like, Austin, Texas and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
Isn't it? I think. Colorado's?
I fucking know.
I don't fucking know geography.
I didn't go to America and suddenly get good at geography. That's not how it works.
Yeah. Pretty sure it's close. It's like, yeah, it's like next door.
Is I'll it? Google it. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Then you can go straight to New York.
New York or just do like Texas, like where Bobby's been hidden over there.
Oh,
just
yeah.
G him up for like where's good to go there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think if I go back again, I really just want to get like buy a camper van or something and then just like so I can travel.
I was thinking about you with this earlier. I was like, because I just did a week in the camper van at the snow. I was like, you should definitely try it out here first and see how you go. At least in Sydney or something like that. Like try and just hire one because you can hire one for like a couple $100 and just go down to Sydney for like a week, do some book gigs down there and see if you like it.
Yeah, see, that doesn't make sense to me, though, because I've got friends that live in Sydney and I've got family that lives in Sydney, so I'd have accommodation.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So if I was going to do that, Melbourne? I'd go to... Yeah.
Yeah?
I've got Adelaide, also got family in Melbourne, so... Yeah. That's how I did the Melbourne Comedy Festival. But, yeah, I would definitely do that and, like, I'd probably travel up the coast and try to...
Yeah.
I've got friends in Brisbane as well. See, it's not working.
You'll probably have friends in New York pretty quick as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely do.
I'm going to stay on your couch.
I definitely have a few men who want to get all up in there.
Like, don't even worry about the van. What are you doing? Yeah. Just pay for accommodation with pussy. That's, if I had one, I'd be fucking straight over there.
When I was younger, I used to think about that. I was like, if I ever really know, I'll just go to the pub and I'll just like pick up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an easy way to get accommodation somewhere. But I'd like to think that I'm not broke enough to have to do that, you know?
You got to do what you got to do if you want to make it big in this town.
Oh, I do not judge anybody who does it. I banned it at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, being in a van, it's fucking, it's all right. Like, it's all right if you like it. But if you hate it, it'd be shit to be stuck over there and be like, oh, now I'm in this fucking van.
Well, I think for me it would literally just be a place to sleep and transport.
Well, you've crashed in your car heaps of times anyway. You know what it's like. Yeah. So you'd be all right.
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, I feel like most of my time, I figured it out. All I need, van, place to sleep, and then I just get, like, a gym membership or something. So whenever
to shower,
shower.
That's what we were doing. We were going to the pool and showering at the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you really need.
Yeah.
I come down for that. And then the rest of the time I'd spend in, you know, cafes, writing, or I'd be doing. Like, I've already planned it out in my head.
Yep.
I've even looked into like ways I could earn coin while I was in New York if I did that. Yeah.
Stalkers on the subway.
No. Just for
standing at petrol stations.
Yeah. Free fuel and accommodation. What did you get?
Amazing. Yeah.
Now what actual jobs?
Just like I found a place that does like online Zoom lessons for adults.
Yeah.
So I could still
teach music.
Yeah, still teaching. But the thing about that is I could probably... Because I was still teaching while I was in New York, just not as much. So I taught a few students at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Drunk.
No.
High and horny.
With the needle still in my arm.
Oh, my God. No, I was lucky. Here's the thing, because I was... Originally, I thought about making it 2 a.m. so as because that would have been a better time for the students themselves. But I was like, I cannot trust myself to be done by 2 a.m. I'm not done at 2 a.m. in Newcastle, let alone in the city that never sleeps.
Yeah.
All right, so I put 4 a.m. on a Monday night because I thought it will be, right?
Yeah.
And then one night I take a dude home and I had to make him leave. No, when I say take him home, he gave me a lift home and we'd been making out all night and everything, but I had to make him leave because I was like, I have to go teach. I got to go work. Can you imagine that as a shove off? It was like, I'm pretty sure she's lying, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if it was like right after you came. You're like, sorry.
Sorry.
Gotta go. Take care of you. Got kids to teach.
Yeah. I have to nurture the youth today. Oh, yeah.
That poor cunt.
I know.
Suck shit.
Oh, no, that's all right. He turned out to be a little bit of a douche.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good then.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm fucking so jealous of you. Like, that is
I mean,
like the dream.
You already were, so.
Yeah, well, there was that.
Just added on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the dream, though. Get over to New York.
Yeah.
You fucking, getting book gigs straight away. Fucking bitch.
I was also messaging people before I got there, but it was also last second that it was like, because people usually book their shows months in advance or something, you know what I mean? Like, and I was like the week before being like, yo, give me a spot. So I just sent my promo video off to a couple of people and, so the best way to get shows though, like I got a few shows out. That's how I got the Grizzly Pear show. That's how I got one of the apartment shows, and that's how I got the first UGG show. And then after that, when they saw me, they just booked me again and again, which was sick.
What's the apartment show?
So the apartment show was this guy, he was trying out, he just literally set up his apartment for comedy.
Yeah, okay.
Like moved all the couches out, set up chairs and everything.
Yeah.
Advertised, had a mic up the just an apartment show.
Yeah.
Mm. So it was the first time he did it. He was just sort of trying it out, seeing if it would work. Because finding a venue to do comedy and everything is just like, I've already got a space. May as well just use it.
Yeah.
So he did that. But it was a little bit, like he booked me to do a 10-minute set. And then while I'm walking into the, you know, the apartment building and it's like all these instructions get up, I'm like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was good. And then I had to leave immediately afterwards because I had another set. Which was, so I was hectic that day. But after that, like the first week was hectic for comedy. And then as soon as my friend got there, I only took the shows that were thrown at me then. I didn't chase really any open mics anymore because I was too busy doing tourist stuff and doing music gigs at nighttime.
That's fair enough if it's your first time over there. You want to do some of that.
Yeah, I generally would have loved to have fun, like more weeks while I was over there.
Yeah.
And I only got a chance to do like one writing session while I was there. And it was for this roast battle I signed up to do. And then they pulled the roast battle at the last second. I'm like, I just wrote like a bunch of material.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll just be like replacing the name Scott with
whoever you fucking roast battle next.
None of the details are going to match, but who cares? Like, a lot of very mean things to say about Scott.